Yeah, hello.
Mitch Colson, sir.
Yeah.
You are.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm finished now, thanks.
Well, I think just to sum it up, Mr. President, it would take me a long time to explain to you all the reactions I think people had, but I think I'd sum it up by saying that there were a lot of skeptics and a lot of Democrats who just said this made their mind up for them, and even though, of course, you've been doing this for many
years. What was it, because of the substance?
No.
If it's a substance, we're in trouble, because that isn't what really matters.
No, it wasn't the substance, Mr. President. I would say it was the confidence and the poise.
Did that get through?
Yes, sir. Oh, very definitely.
Have you talked to Sindlinger or anybody on that?
I've talked to Sindlinger. I've talked to Harris, who was just...
What'd he think?
He thought it was absolutely spectacular. He thought it was beautiful. I talked to him Monday morning when I was...
Are you going to be polling again?
He'll go into the field in about 10 days, yes, sir.
That's a little late to get there. Boom. Sindlinger's probably polling now.
Sindlinger is polling now, and I think, I haven't checked with Rumsfeld, but I think Gallup was planning to go in right after you came back.
He should.
I think he will. I think
news.
Gallup goes a lot faster than Harris.
The point that you make is that you think that the personal image thing finally got through a little. That's
yes.
The thing we've needed, you know, and
exactly.
which we deserved and never gotten because of the hostile press.
Well, the picture, the photograph of you and Chou En-Lai toasting was just absolutely magnificent. That showed strength and warmth and poise and confidence. I think a lot of people felt very proud that they could identify their president in a very, the sense of...
You don't think they could do that before?
Well, they could, but it was a different environment, Mr. President. I think it would be
because I've toasted with De Gaulle and Harold Wilson and...
But those are scenes that people have seen before and expected before. This was the uncharted course, and it was the unknown. And I take a lot of courage. I think, the matter of fact, coming down that ramp when you landed in Peking showed a great deal of courage and poise the way you handled it in an unknown, totally unknown situation, and one that a lot of people were sort of holding their breath, wondering what was going to happen. And I don't trust my own reactions to this because I'm too subjective, but I did an awful lot of talking, and...
Yeah.
Had an awful lot of people talk to me, and the reactions were just great. Even yesterday morning when I was worried about the Taiwan reaction.
Yeah, we got your point. And I understood that because, my God, when I saw that Washington Post headline when it came back, which was the most disgraceful headline I've ever seen.
Terrible report.
And it was wrong.
Yeah, terrible report.
Totally wrong. And they were doing it deliberately. Because, they want to flush Taiwan in any event.
Oh, sure. And
I told the leaders that. I said it was the most disgraceful business that I'd ever seen.
Well, it was a good bit of it. Rather's report on the radio on Sunday was just snide. That was the only sour note in otherwise superb reporting, actually.
Reporters, I gave them a good shot at the airport, you know.
You sure did.
But Rather is just a son of a bitch, don't you think?
He's going to always be a son of a bitch. There'll be no way to touch that fella. He's just a bastard, period. But I think it's because there was so much attention focused on this trip as compared with others.
Incidentally, be sure Rather gets a few nasty notes on his reporting. I don't know whether it helps or not.
Yes, it does. Yeah, he's very sensitive to that.
Well, have you arranged that?
Yes, sir. And
I'd hit him hard. Calls and everything. Said, God, you know what I mean? So that
Lou Harris was going to call him. Lou was so upset at one of his radio reports. He thought he was just being utterly irresponsible in the way he handled the Taiwan thing. But I think the only concern I had in the whole trip, as a matter of fact, was that you come off the plane last night being the serious world leader, and you did just that. You did it just perfectly. I knew you would, but that was the only.
I think it was good to read the speech too, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Of course, I wrote the damn thing in the plane, but it wasn't too long, and
it
was the report to the nation.
And
there's more people listening last night than will listen if I did it next week.
That's exactly right. And it put it in focus, and it was a dramatic scene. And coming off the plane, I watched the tapes of it. It was beautifully handled, beautifully done. And it was just the right tone. I thought it was just the image you had to project, not of someone who was in awe of new sights, but of someone who had really gone there for a purpose and accomplished that purpose and came home firm. But of course, the ending of your feeling. about America. That just was exactly the right note. Hit it perfectly. And I think
that kind of thing, the thing that about the man, can help us because the substance goes up and down. But if it helps with regard to the man, then that's sort of the thing that you had with Eisenhower that sort of kept him, even when everything else went down, he stayed up. If we can get a little of that feeling,
let me say this. I didn't hear a single comment from anyone, and I may have talked to 50 people, a lot of it unsolicited, that mentioned the substance or that mentioned, isn't it good that we have a dialogue with China, or isn't it good that...
Right.
But every comment was, my God, I'm proud of the way our president is handling himself, or my God, did you see the way he walked up with his hand out, or did you see the way he's in total command? There was a feeling of confidence that you gave in the way, in your personal bearing, that had me so impressed. That was the reason I passed that comment up yesterday, because I just wanted to keep that. I felt that was that you had done that so beautifully in China, and the coverage.
I mean, they saw it even at the wall and the Forbidden City, yes, and the toasting and all that business.
Yeah, I think the toasting had a hell of an impact. It was interesting. I think I got more people remembering that when they would talk. Of course, the toast was eloquent on the opening banquet. That was a superb toast, and TV played that over and over, so that it'd be pretty hard for anybody to have missed it. I haven't gotten all the ratings from last week, but I think we'll find it was a spectacular performance. A fellow like Howard Smith, you know, who's an old pro, he called me Sunday. I didn't call him.
Sunday before we arrived?
No, sir. This past Sunday. To say that day before
past
yesterday.
Sunday.
Day before yesterday. When you were on your way back.
Yeah.
And he said, I just want to call you, and he said, I want to tell you two things. He said, first of all, he said, I've never been more impressed with anyone than the way in which the president has handled this. He said, you must be very proud. And he said, he's just done superbly. Of course, his commentary last night was a classic, you know. He said that you had...
Oh, I didn't see it. No, I'm not reading the news summaries for a couple of weeks because I need a little rest.
Well, you do, but I have to tell you, the one thing he said was... there isn't anything to this Taiwan thing. The president was just doing exactly what had been our plan all along. But he said, that, I think he used the phrase, the genius of what this president has done is to reduce our military presence but increase our influence in Asia. And very beautifully, one of the most glowing commentaries I've seen. And he told me this when he called me Sunday. And he said he couldn't help but be struck by the unbelievable comparison of you, poised and confident and in command and doing terribly important things, against the picture of your probable opponent this year, standing in the street in Manchester crying. And he said it just...
Was that thing... I suppose he got a lot of sympathy out of that, don't you think?
No.
That's why they did it?
Well, I think it's playing both ways, Mr. President. When I saw it Saturday night, I thought he would get some sympathy from it. My first reaction was...
I think that's why he did it.
Oh, yeah, no question he did it for that reason. But it's boomeranging on him because even the liberal press, like Broder this morning, just cut him apart.
And Broder did?
Oh, yes, sir. And the New York Times...
On what ground?
Well, that they reprinted the...
You stop to think, you know, that wasn't a bad article about his wife. She was being... Have you seen what they've been writing about my brother?
Oh,
making him out to appear to be a fat... I don't mind them making him out to, trying to use influence, but he's a fat, indecent slob.
That's
well,
right.
God damn it, that hurts me very deeply, but I'm not going to cry about it.
Well, the thing about Muskie, of course, you remember that Newsweek article...
from weeks ago.
Loeb, by the way, has been very accommodating. Of course, that was tough, but it was no reason for Muskie to burst into tears. But the governor has hit him on the grounds of stability.
Was McGovern taking him on that?
Yes, sir.
My God, McGovern's getting mean.
He's getting very, very tough. And he said it was a major tactical mistake that he questioned the...
Emotional stability.
Emotional stability. Dole hit him on it on Face the Nation. But the interesting thing is the press has beginning to pick it up. I've got a major AP political wrap-up today about it and about Muskie's fading strength in New Hampshire. The combination of the two things, calling the French Canadians Canucks, whether he did it or didn't do it, he's being blamed for it. And an emotional scene that...
Well, he'll still get, what, 65 to 70%, won't he?
No, sir. I don't believe so.
You don't think so?
No. And I don't think anybody thinks so now.
But he's not running against anybody, Chuck.
Well, there'll be some write-ins.
How about Florida? How's that look now?
Well, I was down there for a few days while you were gone. I was getting a little sunshine.
Good.
And I never heard anybody talk about any candidate other than Jackson or
Wallace.
And I would say it's a Jackson-Wallace-Muskie ball game, I think.
Not Humphrey?
No, I don't think so. Although he's campaigning hard, Mr. President.
Yeah.
He may come on in the last 10 days. But at the moment, the difficulty is that Jackson and Wallace are competing for the same votes. And the surprise down there, I suppose, could be if Jackson comes up at the expense of Wallace, Muskie could slide over both of them. That's a possibility. But the overwhelming sentiment is Wallace.
Jackson will never take him.
Well, it was interesting. He was doing very well down there in terms of name identification. The latest Quayle poll shows him now up to 14 or 15% of the vote. And if he does that, there's no other place that vote, large part of that vote is going to come from Wallace. Jackson has done nothing but play the busing issue.
What is the situation with regard to Lindsey, though? Isn't he doing something?
Not in Florida. He doesn't appear to be, Mr. President.
He was down there, but...
He went down there and got heckled by a lot of New York Jews that were down there who picketed him on the Forest Hills Project. And so far as I could see from just reading the press in the state and talking to some politicians, he was not doing very well. The interest centered on Jackson and Wallace... In terms of...
Primaries are really silly, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
They really are. They're a bunch of... That doesn't mean a goddamn thing.
Of course, the interesting thing is that the other side is really cutting themselves up. I think it's... not only are you doing superbly right now in all respects, and the economy is coming, and things are going our way, I think we're in better shape than we've ever been. But the other side is also just... tearing the hell out of themselves. When you think of the money that each one of them is spending in each one of these primary states, and the blood that's being splashed around on the floor, it's quite a show to watch.
I was glad to see the market didn't go down while I was gone.
No, it picked up. It gained
9.24
already. It's about 9.25. It was holding today when I checked it.
That's good. That's good. As I said, I don't want it to move too much. Just let it stay about where it is.
Oh, that's perfect. The Harris trial heats will be out next Monday. And
that's from before the trip, though.
Before the trip. And they make it clear. It shows you now, I guess you got that in Hawaii, 4 points ahead on the trial heat, 44-40. And, of course,
Muskie.
Way ahead of Humphrey, 47-36. And in a four-way, it's... rather interesting. In a four-way, it's Nixon 42, Muskie 36, Wallace 10, McCarthy 8. So he does great damage to Muskie. And Harris is going to print that one on the following Thursday. So I think those particularly being pre-China give us...
Very good to have them pre-China.
They give us a very good political...
But Harris feels pretty good about the China trip, huh?
Oh, he was... effusive in describing it, and very negative on the press. I talked to him yesterday morning. He thought the Taiwan thing had been just blown out of proportion.
It's gonna. I don't think the people are gonna give a goddamn about Taiwan.
It'll pass. I worry only
just like that UN vote thing passed. Remember, we all were worried about the UN vote. Who cares about it now?
That's right. Well, the only worry we have, and I've just been with John Mitchell about it.
We sold it out. Yeah,
keeping our fellows on the right from revolting on us. That's the only...
Oh, I know. Well,
we can do that.
Do the best we can.
Oh, sure.
At any price.
Well, no, the explanation, Mr. President, that the way in which you handled it in the cabinet meeting this morning is just superb. I mean, I think that American kept that point across to him. I think the that issue is not going to hurt us. I mean, you listen to that, and it's totally different than the barrage of publicity here Sunday, which was...
Well, it was only Sunday. I think it's beginning to change some already, don't you think?
Yes, it is, definitely.
Something getting across the AP and so forth.
No, I think the thrust of the press, and I've been reading it all, is...
Don't read too much.
I don't do it. I don't enjoy doing it. But got to see what they're saying about it.
Yeah, that's right.
But the politics are running very well.
We won't worry about the politics. We've got to get a few other things done first.
As the economy is, by the way.
You think it's doing better?
Yes, sir.
What makes you think so?
Well, Sindlinger the last 2 weeks has had phenomenal weekly jumps, a point a week. It's now up to 135.3. And he says it's just consumer attitudes are reaching an all-time peak. The leading business indicators yesterday up...
Are they up again?
2.3%, the biggest jump since 1968. That's a hell of an increase for 1 month.
Good.
And I think... You know, the money supply was up sharply the last several weeks.
Arthur's finally getting off his ass.
I think he is. I really do. It was a hell of a jump 2 weeks ago. And the CPI figures are good.
What was that?
0.1% unadjusted or 0.3% adjusted.
Oh, then it came down again. Good.
That's right. It was not.
Four of the week. Before.
Yes, sir.
So three unadjusted, but 0.1% of...
0.1% unadjusted, but 0.3% adjusted.
0.3 adjusted. That's not bad.
No, hell, it was a damn good figure. When you consider that was still part of the post-freeze, I mean, that's December to January that they're measuring. So that was a damn good...
We can live with 0.3.
Easily.
That's only 3.6 a year.
Easily. And I think to me, the most encouraging one is the leading business indicators, because that...
Yeah, I agree.
That's been turning on very sharply in the last 3 or 4 months. And even Herb Stein, you know, who's a...
I know.
He's not a pessimist like McCracken, but he's a realist. He's now beginning to sound
more
optimistic, bullish, in fact. Last week, a couple of times, Herb really felt that the things were coming the way that we wanted them to come. So
it's bound to come along sometime.
I think it's coming. I just feel that on the expansion side and the market's reflecting this, the volume is very healthy every day.
Is it?
And the talk is good. The people at, Jim Cleary, Eastman Dillon, who told me in beginning of November, he said, we're going to see a slump to the end of November, and then it's going to be 1,000 by spring. He's convinced of that still. And he's been right on target. I mean, he's predicted the move completely.
Right.
Sindlinger says that. He does a stock market index as well, and he says it's moving in a very, very healthy direction. Give you one last item of political gossip that'll interest you in my state of Massachusetts. They just did the Becker poll on Republicans in the primary, and it's Nixon 86, McCloskey 6, and Ashbrook 2. Now, when we can do that in Massachusetts...
Well, that's Republicans only. There are not many up there anymore, are there?
Well, it's
still a few. About one-third of them, I guess.
Sure, and then McCloskey, that was the one place I'd been a little apprehensive, but I think it shows that feelings on our side are hardening up a little bit. I think
you get closer to the wire, they just can't seriously consider a jerk like McCloskey.
No.
And Ashbrook, of course, is a nothing.
Oh, he's I think he's made a complete ass of himself. He's got is a protest from the extreme, and that isn't going to cause us any problem at all.
That's
in fact, it helps. I think it's probably, in a way, it's deterred McCloskey.
Right. Well, okay.
Well, I hope you can get some rest, Mr. President.
Oh, I will, yeah.
You looked marvelous this morning. I don't know how
well,
it, but
I'm a little tired, but I'll survive.
I'm sure you must be tired, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. President.